Susan.
How you doing?
Oh, just living the quarantine dreams. I've got my studio here. Got a little hamper recording audio. Life is just peachy. I've got doors locked, so hopefully there won't be any interruption.
I hear some little voices in the background. You might hear some little voices in my background too, though.
So they're being watched.
That's life, right?
Here we are. So I know what you want to talk about.
Yeah, you know what I want to talk about.
I do.
I have been texting you.
You think I'm a liar.
I think you are a big liar right now. You and so many other people that I consider to be good friends.
You want to talk about potty training because it didn't go well for you.
Potty training absolutely sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Potty training sucks.
So first off, you and so many other people, including a video that we did with two other moms who have boys, you all agreed that it's a 3-day process, right?
The hard part, really, really intense training part is 3 days. It's this whole thing is a lifelong battle, though.
Yeah. Okay, so we decided, since we're both home, what else are we doing? We're basically inside. This might be the time. Nikosh is 3. Everyone else we know who has a boy at 3 is potty trained. So we were like, you know what? Let's do this. We can potty train him. And it turned into 3 days of absolute hell.
I'm so sorry. Okay. So when you were texting me, I was asking, I'm just walking to get water because I got a tickle. When you were texting me, I said, what day are you on? And are you doing the 20-minute prompt? Did you? Okay. So what happened?
Okay, so here's what we did. So I got tons of underwear. I did lots of Googling. I Googled and I felt like I was fully prepared for everything that was going to happen. I got tons of underwear, washed it, even underwear that he was excited about with dinosaurs and Mickey Mouse and everything that he's been talking about lately. And then we woke him up the first day. It was a Saturday morning. Woke him up, put him on the potty right away. And we put underwear on him. We even had him put all his diapers away, like put them all inside the closet because they're for babies and now they're for your sister Isla and you're no longer taking them. And right. I thought that would work, like mentally, give him like a shift because I'd been doing that all week saying to him like, we're going to say bye-bye diapers, we're going to say bye-bye diapers. And he kept saying, no, my pamper. That's what he kept saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be a fight. But the day before I said, say bye-bye diapers. And he was like, bye-bye diaper. And I was like, all right. All right, maybe it's clicking. So the morning we started, I had him put his diapers away in the closet, like pack them up, and we got started. We put him in, I let him choose his underwear. He went for Mickey Mouse first, and he seemed excited about it. I showed him that there was candy, that if he did pee-pees in the potty, he would get candy, and he was pumped about that. So we set the timer with Alexa. We were like, Alexa, set a timer for 20 minutes, and we watched him, and I had these pee-pee pads and everything all over our sofa so we wouldn't get disgusting sofa, sat there, pissed his pants before.
Yeah, of
before
course.
The 20 minutes. So I was like, okay. We took him to the restroom anyway, told him, you got to sit here. He didn't do anything, left him for 5 minutes. We stayed with him. We even put books and stuff, potty training books and all that stuff in the bathroom with him. And he sat there because we had those little tiny, tiny like toilet seat things, the covers that you could sit on. So we took him in there, let him sit for 5 minutes. And then that just kind of became the routine. And he kept pissing his pants. So we started doing this thing where we would take him at 20 minutes and when I say piss his pants, I mean piss his underwear because that's all he had on was a t-shirt and his underwear. So we put him on the toilet and when we would do that, we'd just make him sit there for 15 minutes. And then I started doing the countdown for him because I feel like that helps him kind of like understand that he has to do this. So I'd go 1, 2, 3, go! Because that's what we do for just whatever, right? Like racing, doing all that stuff. That's how I usually do it. And so that made him kind of like clicked for him. So then he pushed, but he looked like he was going to have like his brain was going to pop. Like he's like pushing with all his might and stuff. And he got just like little tinkle, tinkle, tingles. And I was like, all right, well, that's something. So we gave him candy and that's kind of how our day went. He definitely peed his underwear a few times. He ran outside for a little while and just like underwear and stuff.
Yeah.
The weather worked against us because it started becoming very cold and rainy here in Los Angeles. So we didn't even get to have him outside much. He had to actually just sit inside and watch TV, which was terrible. And by day 2, so that night we decided, screw it. He's not getting it yet. So we're going to do diapers for the nighttime. So we put him in a diaper that night. He went to sleep. That diaper was completely full in the morning. So that tells me that he was kind of holding it most of the day, and then he really like let it all out at night. Day two, he peed at least 3 or 4 times in the potty, so that was much more progress, and we were kind of like, okay, but he was starting to get a little bit more like, no, like the fight was starting to become stronger instead of it being more exciting. But I was like, okay, well, it's day two. This isn't the breakthrough day. So I was like, okay, I think we're still okay. Let's keep going. He started telling me he had ouchies in his tummy. He would pat his tummy and tell me he had ouchies. So I feel like he was holding it. And he cautions a, like, he's a go 2 times a day pooper. Mm-hmm. So yeah. He hadn't pooped at this point.
Yeah.
Also for 2 days.
I've heard of that happening.
Yeah. So he was really trying to hold it, and it was actually getting worse instead. Like at first he was, you know, trying to pee, and he was starting to pee into the toilet, and then it just started getting worse where it was like he was having this mental block or something, and he would push really, really hard and couldn't pee, and he'd start crying and stuff. And that night we put him in a diaper again before he went to bed. And the next morning on the third day, when he woke up, and our like routines are a little bit off right now because of this quarantine stuff. So he went and he woke up and didn't tell us he was awake. He stayed in his room for a little while, and we looked on the camera and saw that he was awake, and he was sitting there in the corner reading a book. And I was like, he's staying in there so he can poop because he knows he has a diaper on.
Oh. And
sure enough, as soon as I went in there, that's exactly what he had done. He had pooped in his diaper because he'd been holding it for so long. And then it kind of kicked off like the tone of the day. And every time we took him to the toilet, it was worse. Like it was like a fight. It was like him grabbing at everything, like trying to like not be put into that bathroom and stuff. And we were like, this is just turning into hell. Like he's getting more and more frustrated with this. And we're all like really frustrated at this point.
Yeah.
Quarantined together. And so by the end of the day, we had given up.
Yeah. I mean, we had a different experience both times. I've heard other kids are afraid to like go poo poo in the toilet, and they don't then go poo poo, and then they have like a stomach issue, and that's obviously awful. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is there, but I mean, when you feel like you're a kid and you are physically being tortured, then it is time to like readjust a little bit. But you know, can he say like potty and stuff? Like,
he says potty and he says poo poo. Yeah, he says poo poo, and I kept being like, do you need a poo poo? No poo poo. No poo poo.
I feel like, I can't remember which kid, one of mine, it took him a little longer to go poo-poo in the potty. Maybe it was like day three versus the first 2 days. But we had, you know, I didn't sleep train. I didn't do any other kind of like training. But potty training, for some reason, like it was aggressive, the three-day approach for me. But it worked for us. It wasn't like day four, everything is rainbows and unicorns and they're running off to the bathroom and wiping their own butt perfectly and not getting any like, you know, shit stains on their underwear. But it started like to definitely become a lot easier on day four for us. Not easy, but easier. So yeah, I mean, it's a nightmare when it's like just not working for you. And then you feel like, did I just waste 3 days of my life trying this thing? And now going back to full-time diapers, like, is that making it worse? But the whole mom thing is just trial and error, and it's just all a crapshoot, you know? But I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Don't be sorry. It's just
that I'm sorry that it didn't work in the way that you wanted it to.
What I think the problem is that I had this idea that in 3 days we were pretty much going to have a potty trained kid with maybe a couple of accidents. But then when I started posting on social media that I was potty training him and we were doing like an aggressive 3 day thing. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, we took his underwear off on day two.
Yeah. A lot of people do that.
No undies completely. And it was because I started posting on social media that we were potty training him. And then I started getting so many messages from moms, and the messages were completely different kind of messages than I was getting when I first mentioned potty training. Like back in the day, it was like, instead people were now starting to tell me that they tried the 3 day thing, but it actually took them 2 weeks, 10 days, 1 month, that kind of thing. And they're still getting tons of accidents, but they're really just dealing. And I don't know. And I think I felt lied to at that very moment, because it was like, well, if they're not being potty trained, so is it then that you're making the decision to just deal, I guess, with whatever comes? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we had good experiences with us. I mean, there was a few accidents, bedtime accidents, because when I pulled the plug, I pulled diapers completely. I didn't do nighttime diapers at all, which people thought I was insane. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And for us, the 3-day intense method did work. Idris was like, I think 2 years, 9 months. So he really hardly had any accidents after that. Cyrus was 2 years, 6 months. And he had a couple nighttime accidents. And then when we moved here to my new house, you know, big changes I think can cause like regression. He had a couple nighttime accidents when we moved that lasted like, you know, it was like 2 weeks of sporadic accidents, which we hadn't seen in a long time. But we had a really good experience with the 3-day. And when I say good, I mean, it was so hard, but we got good results from doing it. So, but everybody's different. I mean, I posted about potty training, like while I was potty training Cyrus, I was posting about it and I have a highlight of it on my Insta story. I mean, you go insane, but we were strict with the timer. I also did not let Michael intervene either times because I felt like I wanted to spearhead this particular thing. And I just felt like Michael would not have the balls that I had to like keep going forward with it because, you know, your kids can get frustrated. You can get frustrated and then it can just become a shit show quite literally. Yeah. And anyway, but we did have a good experience with it because, you know, I don't know why. I mean, every kid is different. You know, that's the thing with these training things. So many people were like, sleep train, sleep train, sleep train. And I was like, we did not do the sleep training thing well. We couldn't do the cry it out. Michael and I would like, you know, not fight, but like kind of bicker about whether we were doing it right or wrong. And that they're like, there's so many different ways to do this stuff, you know, this mom stuff. So if you know, if it didn't work the way you thought it would, or if you feel lied to, I'm sure you're not the only one that felt that way and has felt that way, obviously. But I remember talking to another mom and I was like, yeah, the 3-day worked for us. Like it genuinely did. You guys know, I would never lie about some mom experience that I had, even though Susan thinks I did.
You know what I think it is? It's like, you know how you start to forget the really bad shit?
Definitely yes, but I do very clearly remember potty training both of them because I have a highlight on Insta story documenting. I mean, I went insane. You can see it on Insta story. I'm pulling my hair out by the end of it, but it worked for us. So many other things have not. So, you know, that's just like one little mom win. So don't feel bad is what I'm saying. Not that you do, but any other mom, if they're not getting it and other people are getting something that they're not, you know.
Well, you know what? The only reason I don't feel bad about it is because a part of me didn't think he was ready for it, even though he is 3.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, there are certain things that he's like been on top of. Like he was really easy to reason with when it came to getting rid of his pacifier for some reason. He just, I just talked it out with him.
Yeah.
And he gave up his pacifier one night. He was like, okay, you're right. This is for babies. It's not for me. And he gave it to me. So I was hoping that it was going to just work for this, where I could reason with him and tell him it's a poor baby. He's got a baby sister. He sees the different things that she does that he doesn't do. So I was like, maybe he'll understand that diapers are for babies. But this one just, it didn't click. And the only reason why I don't feel bad is because I had so many messages from people telling me that they'd given up more than one time, actually, which these are things that you don't hear about. Yeah. All the people who try to potty train their kids, not just boys, by the way. I had lots of people messaging me. Even my cousin was like, she's like, we tried to potty train her twice and it didn't work out until she was like, I'm interested. Like she started showing the signs that she wanted to go to the potty and stuff. And that was something else that I had heard from other moms was that they had to wait until their child actually said that they were interested or started showing those signs. And I guess I can definitely confirm that Nikosh hasn't shown any interest in the potty whatsoever. Cause we've had these little toilet seats on for the toilet and everything. We've shown it to him. We've shown him all the books and he's never once been like, yeah, I want to do that. He's always been like, no, thank you.
Did he ever go to the bathroom before potty training or was that his first time?
Was his first time. I'd had him sit on the little seats before, but he had zero interest.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you just relax and try again when you think he's ready. A lot of people ask me like, how did you know that your kids were ready to be potty trained? And I was like, I didn't know, but I was ready. and then they ended up being ready. But so you've been really enjoying quarantine then.
Oh, it's been amazing. Just sitting here with my kids.
Yeah. How are you? How's life?
So I guess it's been a little bit, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going through the same feelings where at first you're like, this is weird. All right, cool. Let's do this. This isn't real. And then you have moments like we had a grocery delivery scheduled for today. And we had scheduled it since Sunday. Like we had placed the order on Sunday and we were so excited to finally get new fresh groceries delivered today. And it got canceled an hour ago. And it was it's like that one little thing that just kind of takes you over and you're like, how is this life right now? What is going on? How is this real?
Yeah.
And I think that's been one of the biggest things. I think, you know, I feel bad for the kiddos, to be honest, because it's hard to explain to them why we're just staying inside so much. And, you know, our routines are completely off now. We tried to do that whole online, like, preschool stuff with Nikash on Zoom meetings just like this, and he's just not interested in it. It's just he was interested at first to see his friends, and he said their names and stuff. He said all of his friends' names and everything, and then he was like, okay, why are we sitting here? And if anything, like putting the iPad in front of him, he's like, I want to watch dinosaurs, please, YouTube. So that's been a little bit hard. You know, and talking to the people that I think, you know what I think the hardest thing is I had, for me, I had two trips scheduled in this past 4 weeks where I was supposed to see my mom. Mm. And it had been a little while since I'd seen my mom. It always is a little while since we don't live in the same state. So she was supposed to come stay with me. It was actually supposed to be for a month ago that she was supposed to have stayed with me. And then we were supposed to go see my parents again 2 weeks ago, and both trips got canceled, obviously. So that's been a little bit of a bummer. So that's, yeah. You know, like it's those little things. And you know, somebody on my team, you know, Anna on my team, she had to cancel, or she's pretty much going to cancel her wedding. And I think that's been such a bummer, and having to talk to her about all that kind of stuff and everything. It's, you know, it's weird. It's weird that this is reality. And I know that we're all trying to be like, well, we should be grateful for all the things that we have and stuff. But when you take a step back every once in a while, you're like, dang it, this sucks for me though. You know, everything is relative to your life. So whatever.
I feel you. Susan, how are you liking the latest Cause Box?
You know what? I really like the Cause Box. It comes quarterly, so it's 4 times a year, and it's a subscription box, and it's curated for women by women, and I really love that because they have a ton of different amazing products and brands that are ethical, sustainable, and they all have a positive mission to give back and make the world a better place, which is something that we all need right now.
Absolutely. Every Cause Box comes with 6 to 8 full-size products, and you can get everything from skincare to jewelry, homewares, accessories. I really like the jade roller. I'm going to keep talking about the jade roller. It feels so good when I rub my face, and I actually put it in the fridge, which I feel like is what all the skin enthusiasts talk about. Is like,
it's
your jade roller.
True. Yes. You need your jade roller, especially right now. You need to treat yourself. I specifically love the bento box in this latest Cause Box because my son loves bento boxes. He loves to open it up, and then he loves all of his food to be separated and stuff. He's at that point, you know, where he just needs it to all be separated. Can't eat it all at the same time. The bento box really helps to encourage him to eat a healthy meal, surprisingly. You know, they had stuff like a duffel bag, those earrings. I love all the stuff that I got out of my Cause Box.
And maybe one day in the future, he'll go back to preschool and he'll use his bento box there.
Absolutely. And you guys, Cause Box ships in the mail for free, and you open it and feel like you got yourself basically a huge bundle of gifts. It's like a surprise every single time. I get this for myself. You can get this for your friends, your sister, your mom, anybody who really just needs a pick-me-up. It's a really great subscription.
Yeah, it's nice to have a little treat in the mail. Good time to treat yourself. And of course, our listeners will get an exclusive discount. You can go to www.causebox.com/fam and use the code FAM, F-A-M, to get your first box for 30% off. That's a box with $250 worth of fun products for less than $39. Go to CauseBox right now. I can tell you guys, you will love it, and you can feel really good supporting all of the products inside the box. Well, you know, I mean, it's such a mixture of emotions too. At first, it's kind of like, yeah, what is going on right now? What is this new normal? Michael right away was like, I'm gonna go out of business. You know, our biggest source of income is gonna be gone. And that's obviously scary because Michael never has this like doomsday attitude. I mean, never. Mm-hmm. And I think we had just kind of like stocked our pantry like a little bit before the craze happened, you know, where shelves were empty because Michael's just like on it and we typically have a pretty stocked house full of food. And Michael does have like a 70-day earthquake supply in our garage. So maybe he is a bit of a doomsday prepper. I think about it. I'm not a worrier in that sense. Like it's my optimism or being naive or something, but I never really could ever have imagined anything like this. But Michael had to close his business and let go of 86 employees, which is painful, you know, because those are people that work on tips. He has a parking company and those are guys that run around the city of Chicago and park cars. And so he had to close that down, which is very scary. And we obviously just bought a house. So we weren't really, we were freaking out, but he was really on it and applied for all these like crisis loans and his business was approved to receive all these loans because it was obviously one that was affected by the pandemic. And we got to defer our mortgage payment for 3 months. So big, big, big things like that. We sort of have worked through and the stress has been minimized a little bit. But then the reality set in. My sister had to cancel her wedding, obviously, which was a bummer. She didn't even really want to have some massive wedding in the first place. And she was just like, frustrated. She's actually not frustrated at all. She's handling everything great. She's like, new mom life is similar to being quarantined anyway. I'm kind of stuck at home with a new baby anyway. She has a great attitude. My dad's stuck in Medellin, Colombia. He couldn't get on a plane to America by the time he was, I don't know, you just couldn't do it in time. So I'm like not thrilled that my dad's stuck alone in another country. But everybody's healthy and, you know, I had a lot of fun work projects and they all got canceled. And of course, I'm bummed about that. But then I have to take a step back and realize that I am one of the lucky ones. Otherwise, I will get super depressed because in my own little world, it felt like things were crumbling. You know, I'm finding little things. I'm finding joy. You know, I'm sad for Dries, like we had to, of course, he doesn't get a 6th birthday party this year. And that actually, I think, was one of the things that like made me the saddest is explaining to a little 5-year-old why he won't be able to have a 6th birthday. And he's handling it really well and we're making other plans. But, you know, mourning the loss of the life that we were supposed to have this year, you know, it takes a little bit of a toll on you. But then again, it's just, I go back and forth. I sort of teeter totter between finding gratitude and being calm and focusing on the present and then just getting a little bit sad. But today's been a good day. I put makeup on for the first time in literally 3.5 weeks. It's the longest I've ever gone. I feel like my skin is so much better. Quarantine is good for my skin. Like I haven't had a breakout in so long. So I'm just, you know, there's a bit of like calm in my house and it's raining and we're watching movies and I'm playing with my kids in ways that I've never played with them before. And so that's nice.
That sounds a little weird.
Well, I mean, you know, we're like, you took it into a dirty place. We're
playing with my kids. In ways I've never.
Yeah, I mean, like we're like usually normal life is like, okay, I've got like, you know, an hour right now to like be a mom and like focus and stuff. And now it's like, I have 8 hours or I have 24 hours every day, all day. But like, let's say I'm designating 8 hours of pure attention with my kids or whatever it is. You know, the thing, what I've noticed that, really affects my mood. If I have any work or any emails, I start to get like, oh, I can't handle this. When there's nothing going on, then I'm like just no makeup, sweats, hanging with my kids, building trains, watching movies, baking cookies. It's whenever like there's hints of my old life, like sprinkling through like, hey, can you do this? And hey, would you be interested in that? That I'm like, ah, how do I manage this? Like, I can't, I'm not a good multitasker. I don't want to be a multitasker. I want to do one thing at a time. And I really, it's hard for me to do anything right now that doesn't involve my kids because anytime I commit to trying to do something else, That means time away from them, and they start getting antsy and fighting, and then it's just like something is going to crumble.
Yeah. That's been the issue, I think, for a lot of parents. I was talking to even like, you know, my friend Meg, right?
She's yeah.
been kind of like, we don't know how people are doing this. How are they working? And yeah. then also doing their own work and then also dealing with their children.
Yeah.
And making sure that the kids don't get stir crazy. And, you know, we both agree with the TV is on way more.
Yeah.
And I think I do feel more stressed out when I'm trying to salvage my business and make sure that it keeps going and stuff. And unfortunately, the flaw in my business, even though it's like online media, is that I rely on a whole team who can't really be here right now. So yeah. that's been a little bit frustrating trying to, you know, figure out how to, it's like going back in time and trying to figure out how to record my own videos, set up my own lighting, do all of that, upload my own footage so that it can get to a video editor and stuff. So that's been a little bit frustrating and stressful because I feel like if anything, I'm putting in even more work now and I have my kids at home. That's been tough.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. But, yeah. you know, then you just got to go back to gratitude. You know. It's just like so hard to be grateful all the fucking time. I'm so grateful. Yeah, it's tough. It's like a ping pong thing in my head of like, okay, you're safe at home. Oh my God. But about the groceries though, I don't want to forget.
Yeah.
We have been trying, because this is the time when everybody says like, please don't even go to the grocery store if you can't. We've been trying to order groceries since, what day is it? Since Monday.
Yep.
So we're on Thursday. Today's a Thursday. And every time I check the status of my groceries, it's like the window of when they're going to deliver gets pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. So I mean, we could go to the store. We have the masks. We have everything, but we'd rather not.
And well, especially anyway, right now is in Los Angeles, they're saying this is kind of the peak. Of it.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't want to go if we don't have to. So I just want to say, this is not an ad, but they saved my ass with Tender Greens. And they're in a lot of big cities. You can get like an essential grocery box with your fresh produce, either fruits and veggies, or a whole like baking thing with flour, butter, eggs, sugar on Postmates delivered within less than an hour.
That's good to know.
Saved our ass because we have pasta and rice for like the rest of our fucking lives. And I don't want pasta every day. I really don't. I'm sick of pasta and cooking.
I am too. our groceries got canceled and Arun looks over at me and he just looked so defeated.
Yeah.
He was like, I actually feel very helpless right now. And then he goes, so what are we going to eat tonight? Do we need to defrost anything? And I was like, I don't know. And he says, pasta.
So bleh.
Pasta.
Bleh.
He was so excited for our delivery because we had planned out all these meals and stuff. And, you know, if anything, this has made it, it's shown me that I can actually work, take care of my kids, and actually cook, which is something I hadn't been doing.
Yeah.
So if anything, I'm learning that. And I can actually cook stuff with whatever I have in my pantry and refrigerator, because I have been substituting a lot for recipes because I don't have everything and I'm not going to go bother to go get it, you know?
Yeah. Desperation can lead to some creative things in the kitchen.
Yeah. I have made so much banana bread.
Oh my gosh.
Cookies.
It makes sense. My bananas are about to go rotten. It's interesting. There are positives though that have come out of this, and I have to look at the silver linings. Otherwise, again, I will just go into a hole of
deep
depression,
funk.
You know? Yeah. The air quality, you know, I'm seeing all these pictures of places around the world that are typically like so polluted. I'm like, yay, air quality. I swear my skin has not been this clear in a really long time.
You know, but you have sensitive skin. So for your skin to get better, it means don't touch it. Right? Right.
Yeah. Right. So like less makeup for me though, I'm not aggressively removing it as much, you know? So I'm like more gentle, and this is a side note, but, all of Susan's skin enthusiasts might appreciate this conversation. Okay, so when we moved in, I felt like my skin got really, really rough like into a place that like it was just breaking out on my forehead and places that I just don't normally break out. Couldn't figure out what was going on, and it just wasn't going away. And I was like, is the stress from the move or what's going on, whatever. And we had our water tested pre-quarantine, and our water had tons of chlorine in it. And we got new water like a month ago, and there has been definitely a correlation. And I'm not, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not wearing makeup. And I think for me, like that does make my skin a little bit better.
That makes sense for you. I don't think that's for everybody. I think sometimes makeup is a protective kind of shield almost for the skin, or it causes them at the very least to not touch their faces.
Yeah.
That can cause some people to break out and stuff. So I think it's like, for some people like you, it works out in their favor. And for some people, it doesn't work out in their favor. I've been trying to, this is the one day that I didn't get up and do my hair and makeup because I have actually been doing it. I've been doing a lot of lives and stuff.
I know. I saw that.
But you know, that's what's been getting me through is like just acting like it's a normal kind of day, besides the fact that I'm stuck in my house and trying to keep work going and make the most of it and try to, you know, just keep the content coming and stuff. And doing a little bit of makeup, doing my hair, actually taking a shower. Somebody in our group asked if you're still doing your skincare routine. He just like asked everybody. And I was like, I'm still doing my normal skincare routines. Showers, on the other hand.
See, showers for me, I feel like I could take 3 showers a day because it's just something to do. Like, you know, it feels like, oh, this is a fun way to break up my day. Okay. Have you had any other positives? Quarantine positives?
I guess if anything, I've been thinking about new types of content. I mean, it kind of gives me this, you know, again, if, you know, when you go back to like how you started, where you're, you know, doing everything on your own, setting up your own kind of shoot and everything for the camera, it almost brings you back to that place of like creativity in an odd way.
So I'm starting
to become a little bit more creative, I think. And, it's adding a little bit of anxiety for me. And I think that's the big issue is like, I'm an extroverted person as you are. And I'm the kind of person that really thrives off of the back and forth with other people in a team and stuff like that. And I really need that. But at the same time, I'm also feeling this like pressure to be more creative and stuff. And it's actually helping me be creative. So I guess that's the positive. But you know, they always say like type A personalities, type A is really just a nicer way to say that we have anxiety. Like it's like type anxiety, not really type A. And so I think this kind of stuff is starting to bring out a little bit of my like low level anxiety a little bit. So I guess that's been the hard thing. But you wanted a positive, right? I didn't have one.
No, you said you're being creative and that's great.
I'm being creative.
Yeah.
Hey, Charzad.
Hey, Susan.
Have you heard that Brandy Glanville, you know who Brandy Glanville is, right?
Do I? Don't insult me like that.
Come on, right? She has her own podcast now. It's called Brandy Glanville Unfiltered, and I think it's a lot of fun.
It's so fun. I just, pre-quarantine, I was out in LA on a date night with Michael, and I saw her, and I thought to myself, she is so fun. I wish I could go up and be friends with her. I wish I could just say like, hey, I like your style.
Next time you see her, I think you should.
Maybe next time I will say hi to her, but she's so fun. I watched Housewives of Beverly Hills back in the day and then she left and she's back and it's exciting. And her podcast, Brandy Glanville Unfiltered, is so fun. It's so her. It's got all the things. Like if you like her, you're going to love her podcast because it's, of course, unfiltered, uncensored. She's hilarious. I appreciate her humor. I was listening to a clip the other day and she's talking about all the drugs that she wished she had done, like mushrooms and crack and acid. And I laugh. I like to laugh. I like to not take things too seriously, as hopefully you guys know. There's a time and a place for serious conversations. And then there's a time and a place for celeb gossip, fun, entertainment, peek into her wild, crazy life as a mom and as a reality star. So her podcast, Brandy Glanville Unfiltered, will be available on Apple, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. So let us know what you guys think. I am being more creative in the kitchen. I attempted a key lime pie. It's one of the ugliest things I've ever made in my life.
How'd it come out?
Ugly.
Was it delicious though?
It tasted good, but you know, I don't even like sweets that much. Michael has been asking me to make him a key lime pie for about, I don't know, 11 years or so since we met. He's been saying key lime pie is his favorite. And it's such a random kind of pie. It's not like typical. And I was like, well, you know, I guess I'll do it now that it's been 11 years and I'm quarantined. You know, this sounds like a fun activity. And I got my kids excited and I got a bunch of recipes sent to me on Instagram and I made it and it was just a disaster. It was so ugly. And yeah, so, but it's been fun to like play in the kitchen and do things that I don't normally do. I've been going through the list of recipes and meals basically that I ate as a kid, you know, growing up vegetarian. I had all these interesting meals and I'm starting to make them. And that's kind of like a fun, nostalgic project.
Are you recording this?
No, because it's, you know, it's just for me, it's like I either, it's hard for me to do both like social media and be with my kids. I do it a little bit, but I have mixed feelings about it because A, I don't always want my kids on camera. Yeah. I want them to have some privacy and I don't want them to always be on, you know, I just think that's kind of a weird thing for me personally. And B, I can't focus on my kids when I'm trying to do it's, I'm not good at that part of multitasking. So I haven't recorded that. I'm like you, like, I like to work when I'm working and be a mom when I'm a mom.
Yeah.
It's very, I don't like mixing. Even though we live in this, you and I in particular live in this world where we share a lot of our lives with the internet. For me, I do like to compartmentalize it, you know, more, so that I can just do one thing well when I'm doing that thing. So the very long answer to that question is no, I haven't recorded it. I tried to do an Instagram live cooking video with my kids. And Idris was about to show his penis on the live and all they could say is butt cheek, fart, and penis, penis, penis constantly. And I was like, well, I'm not doing this. But we did work on a creative project. You want to know something very exciting?
Yes.
We wrote a kid's book.
What?
Yeah. Great. It's like so fun. So Idris had this idea a long time ago, like 6 months ago, before we moved to this house, because we were definitely in our old house. And he said he wanted to write a book. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's like so cute, but like we'll do it whenever we have time kind of thing. And we have time. And so we've sat and we've worked together and we wrote a little book. And good. I just sent off the rough draft to my sister to like just proof it. And it's really cute and it rhymes because I need everything to flow and have rhythm. And we're working on the art together. So it's been good. This like really fun, cute little project.
Are you going to try to publish it?
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm going to get some feedback. I'll send you a copy, obviously, after I have Shireen, my sister, give it a once over. And then, you know, I think it'd be really cool to try and do the art ourselves. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't know the process, of course. I don't know. I'm curious. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But we wrote a little book.
What's it called?
Well, it's a working title, but it's about two little bears and their adventure. Oh, yeah.
Two little bears. Call your boys.
I do. I call them my little bears. I looked up adventure bears because I was like, that's cute. They're like these little bears that go on an adventure. And adventure bears is like it's so bad, guys. It's like for gay men that have very hairy chests connect and go
on
cruises together. So I was like, well, that's not gonna work.
That's a very interesting topic.
A little off brand for what I was going for. I'm all for hairy gay men doing what they got to do. Absolutely. But I was like, I burst out laughing because I Googled adventure bears and it's like, furry gay man looking for another furry gay man. And I was like, this is too funny.
Wait, I thought bears, maybe Blair can help us with this one. This is off topic. I thought bears don't actually get with other bears, but maybe.
I don't know. Adventure bears, you are a hairy man.
Ooh, animal.
It's so interesting, quarantine life, though. Like how it's, you know, this is going to change. Our lives are not going to be the same. What are you laughing about? Adventure bears. You guys, somebody, I was going to hear this and be Googling it and crack up.
So innocent sounding. Adventure bears. And you're thinking, this is great for my kids.
Oh my God. I burst out laughing. I was like, not that I thought we could like trademark adventure bears or anything like that, but I was like, I'm just going to Google what's out there. And of course that was the first thing that popped up. And I was like tearing laughing. So yeah, we'll see if we, you know, it's all, Idris is very clear. It's his idea. Okay. Not to take credit for it.
Stand back, mom. You always want to be in the spotlight.
Excuse me. But I was like, okay. Anyway, but it's cute. I'll send you a draft. You let me know what you think. But, you know, it'd be fun if something like cute and creative came out of this.
I'd be so excited for you.
Yeah, I'd be really excited too. Very excited. So that's what I've been working on because I'm kind of done with my YouTube channel. I sort of decided.
I know. You said that. I saw that on social media too.
Yeah. Which I feel, I mean, I'm not going to like remove any of my videos or anything like that. You know, they'll live there forever. And if I have something that I feel really strongly that I need to say, I'll definitely use that platform. But I felt like it's been 8 years of being on that channel. It was super fun to do all the random weird shit that I did on there. But I think I'm going to hit pause on that and go in a different direction and focus, you know, just my energy on the podcast that I love so much, just my therapy and, you know, my two little bears, my adventure bears. You know, we can't shoot the sass for like, God, who knows how long.
I was so ready.
I know. Cause even if we did want to start shooting, I mean, realistically, when the hell is that going to happen? You know,
it's just
going to be like months and months before things like that happen again.
Well, so, I think things aren't going to be very normal for a very long time.
I agree with you. Yeah. Nobody knows what's going on. That's why it's such a weird, uneasy feeling. So, yep.
Exactly.
But yeah, we're going to keep our podcast as active as we can. We have some guests scheduled. It'll be in this format, remote. But mm-hmm. I guess that means that we can have guests on that we wouldn't normally because they'll be sort of from anywhere. So that's kind of fun.
That's true. That you is know? Very, very true.
So it's not the same. God, I am such a touchy-feely person.
Same.
You know, I like touch everybody that I meet. I'm like a... Now I gotta stay away.
Now it's elbow bump.
I know it, or the foot dance. Now this is just gonna change like how humans interact. You know,
I think so. At least for a little while until there's a vaccination or something. So
I miss hugs.
I miss hugs. I miss you. I miss the people
miss
I love
so much. I know. Yeah. I'm so glad we got that one last day in before we weren't allowed to see people anymore.
I know.
It feels like an eternity ago.
I know. It really does. Jeez.
I mean, it feels like a different lifetime. It's so crazy. Like how each day feels like, I don't know, so much is happening in a day.
Yep. Even,
you know what I mean? Yeah. But I hear California is flattening the curve and I'm so proud of that is we're all staying inside. So that's good news.
I can't wait till we know, you know, that test, the one that sounds the most promising to me is the one that shows that you have antibodies for it.
Yeah.
Because I think once you confirm you have the antibodies, you're like, well, I'm going back out. Peace out, guys.
Have you been watching the news a lot?
I had to slow it down. I had to slow it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was getting to become too much.
Yeah.
If no one's going to give me any new information, I don't want to know. And then I start hearing things like, you know, we keep thinking that kids are going to be okay. And then you start hearing like Pink, her 3-year-old got really sick and stuff. It's like, I don't need to know any of this.
I know. That's sad. Well, do you have any good activity ideas for moms or dads or grandmas or aunts? Or do you have any movie suggestions or a recipe that we should leave our friends with?
I think, that you should definitely not watch Tiger King.
I mean, I've thought. Yeah.
Well, did you end up watching it?
Of course I did because the whole internet was talking about
it. It was so stupid. They're
so
all very
animal.
Terrible people. They're all definitely racist. And,
abusing animals.
And they're absolutely abusing animals.
Disgusting.
And I saw somebody, you know, what's funny is I'll leave it at this. Somebody, I'd seen online that somebody was talking shit about Carol Baskin, about her being the really terrible person of the whole show. And I was like, I was telling my husband, Arun, I was like, I don't think she's actually the one that was the bad person. He goes, well, she did potentially kill her husband. And I looked at Arun and I was like, I don't blame her for that.
I
understand where she's coming from.
Everybody like all, okay. The Tiger King memes are pretty funny. I don't recommend the show, but just to understand the memes, I feel like you might want to watch the show. But, there was a meme going around that like after quarantine, people can absolutely understand where Carol Baskin is coming from. Yeah. I mean, people that are quarantined with their husbands, you know, and they're like, oh yeah. Sardine oil or whatever she did.
Or Sardines.
Or whatever she did.
On the shoes. Anyway, I love you so much. I'm so glad we got to catch up.
Yeah.
We're obviously going to do this a lot more next week now that we've got this down.
Is this over? Okay. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this. And, you know, subscribe. Please leave a review. And
tell us what you guys want to hear about. We have lots of time to talk to you guys over podcasts. Maybe we'll even give you some special episodes.
Yeah, totally.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.